Okay, I'm good. Now you can hear me? I hope. Yes, now. No. I thought it was green, but no, it's not. Yeah, it's green now. Good. Thank you. Okay. Well, as you know, Genesis, we're sort of like a real quick review, a chapter, say 1 through 11, God created the world, and the world rebelled against God. And then in chapter 12, through the end of the book, God chose Abraham and his descendants as his people to bless all the world. And today we're looking at Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. And some preliminary questions to ask: is God trustworthy? Can his promises be trusted? Does he care for people? Does he care for you? Are his people trustworthy? Are you trustworthy? Do his people care for other people? Do you care for other people? Those are some of the questions to ask before we look at the chapter. And so in chapter 21, Genesis 21, verse 1, I want to pray first. Our God and Heavenly Father, we just give this time to you as we look at your word and pray that you would open our eyes and ears to hear and see and to comprehend, and pray that you'd work in our hearts, that we would honor you and obey you and give you glory as you deserve. Amen. It says in Genesis 21, verse 1, the Lord visited. So this word, visited, or pakad, can describe God coming and visiting to bless or to curse, or to destroy, he can come to destroy like the Amalekites, wanting to destroy them as enemies of his people, or he can come to bless. And on this occasion, it's obviously he's coming to bless because he visited. But it says the Lord visited Sarah. And then it says, just as he said he would. Number one, just as he said he would, and 2, did for Sarah what he had promised. So Moses, the author, is wanting to make the point that God is doing just as he said he would and just as he promised. And so that we should think, oh, well, God does what he says and he does what he promises. I can trust in God. And so you might think, well, what was it he promised, or what did he say? And so if you would return to see what he said and promised, let's return to Genesis 18, verse 9. Genesis chapter 18, verse 9. It says, and they asked him, these visitors or the Lord with them, the angels, where is Sarah, your wife? He replied, there in the tent. One of them said, I will surely return to you when the season comes round again, and your wife, Sarah, will have a son. It says, now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, not far behind him. Abraham and Sarah were old and advancing in years. Sarah had long since passed menopause. So Sarah laughed. And that's the word, Hebrew word for sahak, to herself, thinking, after I'm worn out, will I have pleasure, especially when my husband is old too? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, sahak, and say, will I really have a child when I'm old? Is anything impossible for the Lord? I will return to you when the season comes round again, and Sarah will have a son. Then Sarah lied, saying, I did not laugh. And again, the Hebrew word is sahak. because she was afraid. But the Lord said, no, you did laugh. Hebrew word, sahak. So let's return to chapter 21, verse 2. Chapter 21, verse 2. So Sarah became pregnant and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the appointed time that God had told him. So God kept his promise. We can trust God's promises. So when you read the word, you come across whoever believes in Jesus will have eternal life. You can trust God that he'll keep that promise that you have eternal life with God. Verse 3, Abraham named his son, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And the Hebrew is, again, from the word sahak, which means laughter. And why did he name him Isaac? In chapter 17, verse 19, God said, no, Sarah, your wife, is going to bear you a son, and you will name him Isaac. Sahak. I will confirm my covenant with him as a perpetual covenant for his descendants after him. That was Genesis 17, 19. So God had told them to name him the son Isaac, or Sahak. So I'm just going to keep repeating that word, so you, Sahak. You think, why is he saying that? Because it's important in this passage. It's about the word laughter, Sahak, and Isaac's name comes from Sahak. Okay? When his son Isaac, or Sahak, was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him just as God had commanded him to do. So Abraham was obeying God, and you can read all about the circumcision, that God wanted them to circumcise the eighth day. So that's why he's circumcising him. Chapter 17, if you want to read it. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And we think, wow, 100 years old. And again, this recalls what God had said to Sarah, is anything impossible for the Lord? And continuing in verse 6, Sarah said, God had made me laugh, sahak. Everyone who hears about this will laugh, sahak, with me. She went on to say, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have given birth to a son for him in his old age. And so now Sarah had laughed out of disbelief. Are you kidding me? We're old. You're promising me a baby? Yeah, come on. And then God says, why did you laugh? Oh, I didn't laugh. Oh, yes, you did laugh. And then God said, you're going to name your son Laugh, Sahak. And so every time they called Isaac or Sahak, wow, God keeps his promises. We can laugh, and everyone's laughing with me. Wow, God is a wonderful, powerful God. He can do wonderful things. And so the question for you and me is, are you laughing with joy at what God is doing in your life? And people with you, God did this in my life. He changed my life. I was going down the road this way, and now I'm going the road this way because God did a wonderful work in my life. Laugh with me about how great and wonderful our God is. That would have been interesting to imagine every time you call your son. I remember God was faithful. God keeps his promises. We can trust him. Verse 8. The child grew and was weaned. Abraham prepared a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. Children were weaned close to the age of 2 or 3 years of age. And because infant mortality would have been high, it's a real reason to celebrate. Hey, my baby's still alive, and we're going to have a party and celebrate. And so the parents would be giving thanks. And then verse 9, but Sarah noticed the son of Hagar, the Egyptian's son. And so Hagar's son, Ishmael, would have been about 14 years of age, because it says back in Genesis 16 that when Ishmael was born, he was Abraham was 86, so now he's 100, so that means 14 years of age is Ishmael, whom Hagar had born to Abraham. And what does it say he was doing? Mocking. And again, this is the same word from Sahak. And you think, okay, what's wrong with this laughing? Well, in the Hebrew, it's the PL stem. It means mocking. It's like I can throw some Hebrew at you, but it's not that hard. But anyway, cow is sort of like normal. And PL, you've stepped up that this is really strong. And so it's like this is mocking, not just laughing. And so you have this 14-year-old kid doing something, making fun of baby Isaac. And so Sarah's looking at this boy, the way he's treating her son. And so she said to Abraham, "Banish that slave woman and her son, for the son of that slave woman will not be an heir along with my son Isaac." And so if you've read any kind of history, what happens, or even today, you might say, when there's money involved, inheritance, or what people can do, brothers can become enemies. And back when, they would kill to have whatever. And so Sarah's just looking down the road, hey, if he's treating my baby this way, what can you expect is going to happen down the road? Verse 11, Sarah's demand displeased Abraham. He thought it was evil because Ishmael was his son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be upset. Do not think it's evil about the boy or slave wife. Do all that Sarah is telling you, because through Isaac, your descendants will be counted." That's interesting here. It says, listen to your wife. And if you've read Genesis, What was Adam's sin? Half of Adam's sin was what? What did God say? Because you listened to your wife and you ate of the fruit. So you think, wait a minute, so should we listen to our wives? Well, here God says, yes, listen to your wife. I always joke, well, so sometimes we should listen to our wives and sometimes we should not listen to our wives. You know, we should be saying, well, what does the Lord want me to do? And so sometimes we need to say, well, my wife is right and I need to pay attention, or maybe my wife is wrong and I need not to pay attention. So you need to ask God wisdom about those things. But that's between you and your wife and the Lord. I'm not going there. But anyway, it says verse, what God says in verse 13, "But I will also make the son of the slave wife into a great nation, for he is your descendant too." So he knew Abraham loved his son Ishmael. And so, well, what about my son? What about them? What's going to happen? And God says, you can trust me. I will make him into a great nation. And he does, as we know, makes him into a great nation. As we read about the Ishmaelites. And he had already said this before to Abraham in chapter 17, 20 to 22. "As for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will indeed bless him, make him fruitful, and give him a multitude of descendants. He will become the father of 12 princes. I will make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this set time next year." When he finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. So he, again, the promise, in a year I'll come back and your wife's going to have a baby. But don't worry, I'll bless your son Ishmael. He's going to become a great nation. Even 12 princes will come from him. So back to chapter 21, verse 14. "Early in the morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar." So Abraham was quick to obey. Early in the morning. You find that again in chapter 22. Early in the morning, after God said, sacrifice your son early in the morning. So Abraham was quick to obey. And so the question is, are you and I quick to obey God, or are we sluggish? You know, like the famous Mexican saying, I'll do it mañana, tomorrow. It's like I want someone to do something there. I'm not saying all Mexico are lovely people, but I'm saying some Mexicans would have a terrible habit, and I know Americans do it as well. When can this get done? Tomorrow. You ask him, well, did it get done? Hey, it's still not tomorrow. Today's today, so tomorrow's never, so you never know when it's going to get done. Anyway, but we should be quick to obey the Lord. So what Abraham put the skin of water and her shoulders, gave her the child, and sent her away. So she went wandering aimlessly through the wilderness of Beersheba. We're going to look at the Beersheba in a minute. When the water and the skin was gone, she shoved the child under one of the shrubs to get some shade. Then she went and sat down by herself across from him at quite a distance, about a bow shot away, for she thought, I refuse to watch the child die. So she sat across from him and wept uncontrollably. But, always that word but is so interesting so many times in the Bible, isn't it? But God, think about Ephesians 2, we were dead in our sins, but God, and here again, but God heard the boy's voice. We can trust God that he's going to hear our cry for help. I mean, like Jonah's cry for help, or here for her and her son Ishmael. The angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and asked her, what is the matter, Hagar? Don't be afraid, for God has heard. And this word heard is a play on the word for Ishmael, Shema, even with the Shema. So heard, I hear the boy's voice right where he is crying. And this Shema has been mentioned before again in Genesis 16. Genesis 16, 11. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, you are now pregnant and are about to give birth to a son. You are to name him Ishmael, from the Hebrew word Shema. Here, for the Lord has heard, Shema, your painful groans. He will be a wild donkey of a man. He will be hostile to everyone, and everyone will be hostile to him. He will live away from his brothers. And so, I think they understand is Ishmael is like the father of the Arabs, and they definitely are hard to get along with, and even though they can be super hospitable as well. Anyway, Genesis 21:18. Get up, help the boy up, hold him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God enabled Hagar to see a well of water. She went over and filled the skin with water and then gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew. He lived in the wilderness and became an archer. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, that'd be in the Sinai Peninsula. His mother found a wife for him from the land of Egypt. And you think, oh, he's good to go now. You know, I mean, that would be like some immigrant, you know, like from some podunk country in the world. You think, what can you expect there? And but the person married an American. Okay, now he's got connections. So, you know, there's going to be a future for him. That'd be like what here? He married an Egyptian woman. Oh, he's got good connections now. So you could expect a good future for him. In essence, God is keeping his promises as he always does. Verse 22. At that time, anyway, I just want to emphasize we can trust God for what he said, just like he did with Sarah and Abraham, keeps his promises. You can read the word of God and trust the word of God that God will keep his promises, okay? So I encourage you to memorize scripture verses. Say, and I'm going to trust God for this, you know. One of my favorite verses, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5. So I cast my cares upon him, and I always do it because I get worried about stuff, and I think of, I'm throwing it. And I will do that with my hands, especially when, it's bothering me in the night, my sleep. Okay, I'm casting on you, Lord. I'm not going to worry about this because you care for me. Anyway, that's one of my favorite promises, so I can have a good night's sleep. There are other promises, but that one's definitely one that I repeat many times. But now we're going to talk about you and me. How are we? Are we trustworthy? We asked, is God trustworthy? Well, now we're looking at what about us? Or what about Abraham? Verse 22. At that time, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, said to Abraham, God is with you in all that you do. Wouldn't that be wonderful to hear someone tell you that? God is with you in all that you do. Wow. But now, the next verse. Now swear to me, right here, in God's name, that you will not deceive me, my children or my descendants. God is great, but I don't trust you. Wow, what did Abraham do? Do y'all remember? Let's look back at chapter 20, and we can see why Abimelech said what he said. Chapter 20, verse 1. This is where we see he was convinced God was with Abraham, but boy, don't trust Abraham. Abraham journeyed from there to the Negev region and settled between Kadesh and Shur. While he lived as a temporary resident in Gerar, Abraham said about his wife, Sarah, she's my sister. So Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent for Sarah and took her. Talk about a husband that's got it wrong. I mean, hey, when we're here about these bad people, tell them you're my sister. And so the guys around there, hey, she's pretty good looking. Thank you very much. And says, Abimelech took her, and Abraham, there's no protest, nothing. He's just like Adam. You know, when Satan's tempting Eve, Adam is just, wake up. What are you doing? What are you thinking? But Abraham lied. I mean, okay, half-sister, but nevertheless, she's my wife. Hands off. You know, I pray that you and I will not be afraid to say our wife is our wife. Even if it means someone's going to kill me. Hey, I'd rather be dead than let someone take my wife. But anyway, but Abraham was okay with it. You're like, Abraham, what is wrong with you? Anyway, verse 3. But God. God's always rescuing, praise the Lord. But God appeared to Abimelech in a dream at night and said to him, you are as good as dead, because of the woman you have taken, for she is someone else's wife. I'm going to skip down to 7. But now give back the man's wife. Indeed, he is a prophet. You know, he's a spokesman for me. And he will pray for you. Thus you will live. But if you don't give her back, know that you will surely die along with all who belong to you. You get that kind of dream, you say, man, God is with this man. But hey, I almost losing my life because of him. He lied to me. That's the same thing with Jonah. Well, he said, hey, I'm just escaping from God. I don't want to be with God. But hey, so God's going to send this terrible storm and maybe you die. You know, sometimes believers can be such disobedient people, they cause problems for everyone else. And so here we have this with Abraham. Even Abimelech says in verse 9, chapter 29, Abimelech summoned Abraham and said to him, "What have you done to us? What sin did I commit against you that would cause you to bring such great guilt on me and my kingdom? You have done things to me that should not be done." An unbeliever telling the believer, "What's wrong with you?" That's the same thing again about Jonah. The captain telling this, Jonah, "Why aren't you calling out to God? We're about to die. You're sleeping. All the sailors are calling out, but you're sleeping here, Abraham." And anyway, what I'm saying is, we believers can be disobedient and cause other people to suffer. And so, back to chapter 21, verse 23. Abimelech says, "Show me and the land where you are staying the same loyalty that I have shown you." At least be loyal and good to me as I've been good to you. I didn't lie to you and deceive you. So may we not be deceptive or lying. Or reminds me of a brother, dear brother back in Mexico. Fantastic evangelist. He'd preach the word. He'd go out into the plazas and preach, and people would come to Christ. But he had the reputation, boy, you better not do business with him. You know, he'll cut corners and do this and that and the other. And anyway, so people said, man, he's great for getting saved, but he's terrible about doing business with. You're like, what? Anyway, praise God. I mean, he was in the church where I was at, so I got to rebuke him a number of times. And so praise God, he's not doing that anymore. But anyway, I'm just saying that we need to be trustworthy, just as God, our God is trustworthy. People can trust us. But anyway, verse 24. So what does Abraham? Abraham said, "I swear to do this." So praise God. Abraham says, "I swear I will not deceive you anymore. I will not be doing these terrible things." So maybe you and I, well, we need to have a time with God and say, "Lord, I'm sorry for what my mouth has said, and please help me to speak the truth." But Abraham lodged a complaint against Abimelech concerning a well that Abimelech's servants had seized. So, hey, what about something happened here that Abimelech's servants had taken, that Abraham had dug? "I do not know," and Abimelech said, "I do not know who has done this." Abimelech replied, "Moreover, you did not tell me. I did not hear about it until today." So now you tell me, so okay, we can make things right. So Abraham took some sheep and cattle and gave them to Abimelech, just as Abimelech had given sheep and cattle to him for his insult to Sarah. Now Abraham's given him sheep and cattle. The two of them made a treaty. In Hebrew, it's literally cut a covenant. Cut a covenant. I'm not sure if you're familiar with cutting a covenant in the Bible. Until what time do I have? 12? Is that the time to finish? Is that the time? 12? So I got 30 minutes? Okay, so we're going to... What are you saying? Or 11:30, is it, when am I supposed to finish? Okay, well, if you got time, we're going to dig. Okay, what does cut a covenant mean? Well, in Genesis 15, verse 9, here is cut a covenant. I just figure I enjoy studying the Bible. If you want to study with me, we'll go for it. Genesis 15, 9 talks about this cutting a covenant. "The Lord said to him, 'Take for me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon.' So Abram took all these for him and then cut them in two and placed each half opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in half." God refers to this customary treaty. Now let's go to Jeremiah 34. We'll study a little bit more about cutting a covenant. Jeremiah chapter 34. Jeremiah 34, 1. I will punish those people who have violated their covenant with me. I will make them like the calf they cut in two and passed between its pieces. Okay? 18. Jeremiah 34, 18. Sorry. Jeremiah 34, 18. So, let me explain it. So, say Dan and I want to make a covenant, a treaty. So we get these animals, and we kill them, and we cut them in halves. You can put half of the animal over here, and half of the animal over there. And then you and I would walk together between these halves. I promise, I swear to do such and such, and I swear to do that. And then you'd be walking, yes, and I swear to do this, and I swear to do that. So, and then the idea is, what, as God says, the rest of 18, I will do so. Verse 19, I will punish the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the court officials, the priests, and all the other people of the land who passed between the pieces of the calves. I will hand them over to their enemies who want to kill them. Their dead bodies will become food for the birds and the wild animals. So the point is I'm promising, I swear to do this or that, and if I do not keep my part of the treaty, may I be like these, cut in half. May I be dead. I'm keeping the treaty, or you can kill me. Okay? You remember God made that treaty with Abraham, 15. And what was Abram? Remember what Abraham was doing when God made the treaty? He was sleeping. So only, and then you have this pot. So the smoking pot went between the halves. So we know it's an unconditional covenant. It's all on God to keep the Abrahamic covenant. Not on Abraham. It's like he's sleeping. So it's, and a conditional covenant, and to be like, each person is responsible to keep their part. So anyway, okay, back to Genesis 21. I'm just saying that this is the kind of treaty that Abraham and Abimelech were making. Verse 28. Then Abraham set seven, and then the Hebrew word is Shabbat, ewe lambs apart from the flock by themselves. Abimelech asked Abraham, what is the meaning of these seven Shabbat ewe lambs that you have set apart? He replied, you must take these seven, the word is Shabbat in Hebrew, ewe lambs, from my hand as legal proof that I dug this well. That is why he named that place Beersheba. So because the two of them swore, and the Hebrew word for swear also is the Shabbat. An oath there. So it sounds like when you would hear the word Beersheba or Beersheba, what was that meaning here? Beersheba, okay, you would think Shabbat, the 7 years, seven, and you'd also swear Shabbat. So this is where the beer well, the well of seven or the well of swearing. This is where we made this promise. So now Abimelech would remember, we named it for these seven, and we're going to keep this promise to one another, that this well belongs to Abraham. Okay? Or and also that Abraham would also remember, I'm not supposed to deceive or say, I'm going to be careful with what I say to Abimelech and his family. Shabbat, word seven, swear. So it's also the word seven. You remember about the creation and the seventh day, God rested. And so that's also Shabbat, Sabbath. All those words are connected. And the seventh, swear. And that God keeps his promises, and here Abraham is promised to keep his, and the number seven, and Abimelech also saying that this well belongs to him. So they made a treaty, verse 32, at Beersheba, or Sheba. Then Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, or Beersheba. You think, wow, what's so important about a tree? Remember, God had promised him the land. Have you thought about planting a tree or planted a tree on your property? Yes? Oh, when you plant a tree, what does that mean for you? You're going to be there to see it grow. You know, you don't plant a tree and say, yeah, well, I'm out of here. And the tamarisk tree was well known to grow big and provide lots of shade. And so Abraham was looking for, you know, you're talking about the desert. A big shady tree is paradise. You know, it's like, hey, we're in the shade. You know, praise God, we can eat and enjoy. So he was looking for many years to enjoy there in the land. So he was showing again faith in God by planting a tree. And so that's what he does next. There he worshiped the Lord, the eternal God. And so Abraham stayed in the land of the Philistines. What? What's it say? Quite some time. So, you know, he stayed there a long time. So, but anyway, it says he worshiped the Lord or called on the name of the Lord. And so he would recognize, I mean, if you remember when God called on his own name when Moses said, reveal your glory. And it says the Lord, he called on the name of the Lord. And so all the attributes of God and being merciful and kind and forgiving and long-suffering. And so that was what Abraham was doing. That's what we do. We say, Lord, you are wonderful, kind, forgiving. Your mercies are new every morning. I'm just amazed that you love me and care for me. And so that's what Abraham was doing. The eternal God, the Lord, the eternal God, the one that we can always trust. And that God would, the tamarisk tree also, that obviously that God would provide. You have to have water for the tree. So applications, God fulfilled his promise to Abraham and Sarah. We can trust God's promises for you and me. Don't doubt God. God heard Ishmael's cry. We can trust God to hear our cry. God gave a 100-year-old man and his wife a baby son. There's nothing impossible for God, so you can ask God for the impossible. You know, I think I already told this story about this woman, 80-year-old woman, I think about 80-year-old, and I think, boy, I'm getting close to that. But anyway, I was 32 and went to her house. She was a dear woman in our church, and I'm so excited. Wow, what's an 80-year-old woman so excited about? She said, I just got off the phone with my son. I've been praying for him for 40 years. He trusted in Christ yesterday. Wow, God can do the impossible. 40 years of prayer. We can ask God and trust and pray God to do the impossible. Maybe your son or daughter or someone that you think, never going to come around. Well, don't give up. God can do the impossible. Abraham was a blessing to others, but dangerously deceptive. We should be a blessing to others, not deceptive and have other people suffer because of what we say. God provided a water well in the desert for Abraham. We can trust God to take care of us in our old age. Abraham wisely dealt with Abimelech, and Abimelech with him. We need to have wisdom in our dealings with those of the world. Abraham worshiped God. We should worship God. We have a wonderful Lord. He'll take care of us. He's worthy. I think that's all my study. Any questions? Okay. I'll just close with prayer. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can trust your word, that you are trustworthy. You keep your promises. Lord, help us to read your word, to find and discover your promises that are marvelous and you help us so much. I don't know why you want to even help us. We're undeserving, but it's because you are love, you are kind, and you're the one that deserves all the glory and praise. You're our creator, you're our savior. We trust in Christ as our only savior that died on the cross for our sins and rose again. And we thank you, Lord, for each day, and thank you for the opportunities to honor you. Help us to trust you and be a blessing to those around us. Amen.